Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, the big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, and you can find us on any of these 13 global networks: iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Mixcloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, Player FM, Podcast.com, and VIP Internet Radio. That's kind of like
That's
our
station.
Is that all? Well, so far. And also at CaregiverDave.com, voted the number two best caregiver podcast of 2017. We're pretty proud of that. And you can hear all our shows 24/7 over all those airwaves. Now, we have an exciting interview planned for you today with my lovely co-host, founder of the Caregiver Space, Adrian Gruberg. Say hello, Adrian.
Hi.
Today, we'll be interviewing business coach Katrina Sawa. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Katrina is an energetic, tell-it-like-it-is speaker and award-winning coach who has been featured on the Oprah and Friends XMR radio network, ABC, and the CW. You will not want to miss this show, folks. She's going to help all you caregivers that need to start a home or computer-based business while grandma's taking her nap because you're broke. So let's get started. But first, I want to take this moment and thank my last week's guest, best-selling author and patient advocate, Kathy Pendleton. And you can hear that interview and any of our interviews right on our website, caregiverdave.com, and all our networks. So let's get going. Katrina Sawa is known as the Jumpstart Your Business Coach because she literally kicks her clients and their businesses into high gear. I thought it was going to say kicks their butts, but she probably does that too. Katrina is the author of Love Yourself Successful. Nice title. Jumpstart Your New Business Now, and the creator of the Jumpstart Your Marketing System. Registered trademark. Wow. She enjoys inspiring entrepreneurs, speakers, and professionals to move faster because they don't move fast enough, and more affordably towards their ultimate revenue and professional goals using online and offline relationships, marketing strategies, leverage business models, and ongoing accountability. Katrina lives in Northern California with her husband, Jason, stepdaughter, Riley, and German Shepherd, Willow. She's been a caregiver now for three different family members, her father, her mother, and her spouse. Plus, she knows about being on the other end, too, because a couple of surgeries and injuries that she's endured. And right now, she's nursing an ankle back to health. Find out more about Katrina and get her free business building resources online at jumpstartyourmarketing.com. Hey, big welcome, Katrina. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me. Hi, Adrian. It's so good to be here.
Good to have you. So I'm excited to have your expertise on the show. It isn't often that we get somebody talking about, you know, the financial plight of caregivers. Most of them lose their jobs because they're consumed with their caregiving. Some of them are fired because they're consumed with their caregiving. And a lot of them are just living paycheck to paycheck. Well, after the paycheck was taken away, I don't know how they're living, but they're just having trouble paying the rent, putting food on the table, and paying the doctor bills for their loved one. So I'd like to ask my guests, who is Katrina Sawa and why were you put on this earth?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Really?
I am someone who's super passionate about helping people create the life that they want. And, you know, before I got into my own business, I thought that it was just, you know, getting a job and having enough money to take vacations on top of your living expenses. And that was a great life. But I've since learned there's so much more that's possible when you have your own business and you're really motivated and focused. And I just want people to live the biggest life that they can, whatever that means to you. I'm all about living big. And, you know, when you're in situations of caregiving, especially, sometimes all we can think about is that thing and that person or whatever it is we're doing. And we don't think about ourselves. And I think that's one of the hugest mistakes. I'm sure you agree. that we don't focus on ourselves enough. And so I'm super passionate about people getting to the point in their life where they do have the right money coming in. They do have some joy and happiness for themselves, and they can afford to do whatever it is that they need to do in their life for themselves and for others.
That sounds like a nice goal for your clients. So tell us, how did you get started, and how did you build your business?
Well, I started about 16 years ago. I was in advertising sales, and I realized that the small business owners that I was trying to sell advertising to in the newspaper, back in the newspaper days, they were just dropping out of business like flies because they really didn't know how to run a smooth, successful, profitable, consistently profitable, mind you, money-making business. So they knew a bunch of stuff about their business or product or service, but they didn't have it all where it was flowing together like a smooth running system. And so that's what I think a lot of the people that are caregiving out there could benefit from, especially if you did do your own business. I mean, a lot of the reason I was successful and still made money while I was caregiving some of my family members was because I had smooth running systems in my business that were still bringing in leads and making sales and supporting me and my family.
Yeah, and a lot of caregivers may not know what a system is. So how would you define a system? Because it sounds nice.
A system can be so many different things. I think of it more as a strategy. So it's a process or a strategy on how something works or how something is handled or managed or running, for example, especially in your business. So a lead generation system. There might be multiple lead generation systems in a business because you might get leads from social media, from offline, direct mail, whatever it is. But there's different processes that if you can put them in place and automate and delegate certain things, then you can actually not have to work so hard and so many hours, and you can have time off to take care of other ones. And I've done it, so I know it's possible.
Yeah, and some of us caregivers have actually tried to help other caregivers and realized that pretty soon they're spending a lot of money. It's a huge overhead, you know, to do what Adrian does and do what I do. And sometimes we say, gosh, it would be nice to monetize this thing. And you could probably help people who want to help caregivers monetize what they do to help caregivers too, right?
Yeah, well, and what you're doing to help the caregivers is amazing because they don't always think about what else is possible. They're so in the midst of it, right?
Yeah.
And obviously it's better if you can set yourself up ahead of time before you go into caregiving mode. But we don't always think like that. We don't always think that anything's going to happen. Nobody thinks anything's going to happen to themselves or their loved ones. Because isn't 99% of everybody in denial that anything's going to happen to them?
Yes.
Right,
Adrian?
Yeah.
Yeah, Adrian just had some knee surgery recently. And so, you know, she needed a caregiver too. And fortunately, she has a boyfriend. So when her husband died, so she had someone who loves her very much who was taking care of her as well. Is he a good caregiver, Adrian?
Across the country for 53 days.
Wow, that's love.
That is love. When I had my hip surgeries, two total hip replacements.
Oh, my.
And they were one January and one December in the same year. I maximized my health care benefits in 1 year. Very smart to do financially, but if you're gonna need it. But we weren't married yet, my husband, and he was a fiance, and boy, did he have to endure some really, really good. I mean, I knew he was a keeper after that. Let me tell you what he went through to take care of me. So I can imagine Adrian.
Yeah, I mean, I did have to warn him, you know, that. Knowing caregivers the way I know caregivers, and knowing patients the way I know patients, I had to fill him in on what to expect.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Patience is a tough one.
He tried to scare him off, huh? But he wouldn't scare away.
You got to know what you're getting into.
He's a keeper.
So I'm sure you made some mistakes, Katrina. Tell us in the early stages, what kind of mistakes changed the way you did business, and what did you do to avoid more mistakes in the future?
Well, yes. Thanks for assuming that I've made mistakes. I mean,
everybody makes mistakes.
So, I know the biggest one was probably my own stubbornness, honestly. And
you stubborn, really?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've since let go of some of that, and I've let go of my perfectionism. I've let go of the need to be perfect, because there's no perfect, and you can't get anywhere trying to be perfect.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't think there's a caregiver out there that's not a perfectionist, and they've got to get over that perfectionist, because you know, they're never doing enough, and it's never good enough, and that attitude will kill you.
It will. It will. It's so tough. So you're hardest on yourself. And so that was really stubborn with the trying to do it all myself rather than asking for help. That's huge. I totally ask for help now when I need it. And still probably not enough, but more so than some people. And you've got to ask for help. You've got to just be humble and say, okay, I cannot physically do it all. And you know, I wasn't getting enough sleep. I wasn't taking care of my body as far as nutrition goes back then, when I was taking care of my husband for sure through cancer. And I gained a bunch of weight because of it. And now I can't get it off, because now I'm older. My body's changed. And now I can't get it off when I want to get it off, because now I'm into menopause or something like that stupid thing. But so now I'm just like, it's totally messed up my whole body for the last like 5 years. It's pissing me off.
There's good news, though.
Tell us the good news, Adrian.
I gained a ton of weight while I was caregiving, and since my husband passed away, I've lost 55 pounds.
Wow.
Well, that's good. So every time I try to lose weight, I need a hip replacement, or I have a toe surgery, or now I have a sprained ankle. It's like, really? Come on. Like, that's not fair.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
So, gosh, how did you manage it all? Because you've got a stepdaughter you're dealing with as well, and a husband. Sometimes some people say that's two kids when you count the husband. So, in other words, life, family, business, how do you do it all? How do you juggle all the plates? You know, that Ed Sullivan thing. Ed Sullivan, you're probably not old enough to know who he is, but
he
always had a guy on the show, and the guy would balance plates on a stick. And he would do like, I don't know how many he would do, but just when he got the 20th one going, he'd have to go back to number one because it was about to fall, and that's kind of how I feel.
Yes, well, I've learned to really, like I was talking about, have more systems. So I, as a business owner, I really put my business into autopilot a little bit. Not so much that it's impersonal, but I have a lot of my follow-up and lead generation and marketing activities in systems or automated through my website. So the website has really become the hub of my business. And so you've got to have the right technology in your business to help you. And then team. So I have assistants. I have three different assistants that I use for various things. And then a couple other people who I use occasionally as well. So I can always call on somebody to help in a pinch, or if I'm going out of town, like I'm going out of town this week. Yeah. So if I'm going out of town for a week, I don't want to be checking email and checking voicemail and doing all of that. I want to be in the zone of wherever I'm going. Mm-hmm. And so things need to be handled. And as far as my husband goes, he's amazing with his daughter, my stepdaughter. So he pretty much does everything for her. He doesn't really need me, frankly. He doesn't need me. He was always the one in his previous marriage to take care of her anyways. So
he's not one of those helpless males that we hear so much about.
No. In fact, he's a Tasmanian devil. He will run around all over the place until he's too tired. and so he needs to take more care of himself. So we have to work on that. But
well, now that he's a caregiver, yes, you need to start preaching to him like a caregiver.
Yes, I know, and I do, and he is, and he's trying to get into his own business right now, so he can let go of the job and be more freed up. I mean, it's amazing when you can work from home or wherever you want, what you can accomplish, but you have to have that confidence and faith in yourself that it's going to work out. You're going to make the money. You're good enough, right? All of that stuff gets in the way.
Yeah, we are our own worst enemy. In fact, there's a fear of failure, but there's also a fear of success. You know, tell us about the fear of success. What? How does that work?
I don't know that I have the fear of success.
But you've heard of it.
I have heard of it. And I know people that will sabotage themselves and in order to not get somewhere.
What are some typical reasons why people will self-sabotage themselves when it looks like they're going good and all of a sudden they do a stupid thing that just destroys everything? And says, why'd you do that? Says, I don't know.
I know. Sometimes it's the perception of what is going to be. So sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. And you think, okay, if I get too successful, then I'm going to have to work too hard, or I'm going to have to spend too many hours, or I'm going to have to go here or do this or get an office space or travel more or whatever, be away from my family. So they perceive that success comes with no life, I think, a lot of times. That's probably one of the biggest reasons.
Well, and that's where the systems come in, I assume.
Exactly.
So systems are nice. Do you have like virtual assistants, VAs?
Yes. Virtual assistants, webmasters.
Are they like in the Philippines? People. Where are they located?
No, they're all in the U.S., the ones that I use. I have used
for you.
Out of the country, but it's hard to communicate with them for me. I need to speak to my people. I'm a talking person, not like a here just like delegate or post online stuff. So
now when you became a caregiver, how did that affect your business? And, you know, what happened to the time, the free time and your business time and the mix? You know, how did you know, I'm wearing my business hat now. Okay, now I'm wearing my caregiver hat. I mean, I remember the story I used to tell my employees because I have a gas station, you know, and every now and then when I want to fire an employee who happens to be a close relative, I tell him, listen, let me tell you a story. He says, there was this boy, he worked for his father, and the father realized that it wasn't working out, so he was trying to figure out how to fire his son, and so he got an idea. He says, son, come on in here. He says, you know, I wear two hats. I'm your dad, and I'm your boss. I'm going to put my boss hat on. And so he puts his hat on, and he says, you're fired. And he says, now I'm going to put my dad hat on. He says, hey, son, I just heard you lost your job. Anything I could do to help? And sometimes caregivers, you know, wear a lot of hats. And so explain you and how you handle your hats.
Well, the two biggest, I mean, with my dad, when it was so far away from him, it was really hard. I think the biggest thing with him, he was so stubborn and selfish and wouldn't even tell me when he was sick or in the hospital. And so I couldn't really take care of him. Plus, when I did try to suggest something, a good idea, he rejected it and knew that he knew better. So I kind of had to, it wasn't necessarily caregiving with him. It was like worrying.
That's so typical, worrying, by the way, just in case you were wondering. That is just, that's the norm.
Right. So I was worrying. He didn't have his ducks in the row with his will and all this stuff. And I was like trying to step in to like, look, I'll pay to get your will updated. I'll do whatever. You can talk to whoever you want. I'll just put the bill, because he was too frugal to pay somebody. He was going to do it himself. And then, you know, and then really he died and I had this huge probate issue. So the caregiving for my dad came afterwards after he passed, when I had to clean up his mess, and because he wouldn't listen to me. So, you know, that, and so I couldn't really even grieve because I had to move into, you know, get stuff done mode, because he lived alone and I'm an only child. So there's that situation. My mom is completely the opposite. She's got everything planned out. I've got all her paperwork in my safe. I have a key to her house. I know exactly what to do because her mom was that way. Her parents were that way. So thankfully, I won't have to do that, but she tends to fall a lot now that her husband just passed a couple of years ago, so she's still a plane trip away.
Where's she living? I mean,
she's in Las Vegas, and I'm in Sacramento.
In her own home?
Yep, in her own home, and she's 75, and she's
Doing she probably well. Shouldn't be alone. Maybe she should go into assisted living somewhere.
We're talking about it, and I brought it up. I'm not pushing it. She's coming around. Her mom did check herself into an assisted living and an independent, thinking that she might need assistance at some point. Mm-hmm. So her mom set a good example for her, which is great.
Good.
Yeah. So she's of the mindset of that. And the first time she fell, I mean, she did some damage. I mean, we had to get life alert. And so, I mean, I had to fly out. When I fly out, you know, everything has to stop. So then I put all the systems on autopilot. I alert the team so that they can manage leads and follow up and emails and phone calls and things like that. And so then I can just be present. I usually don't have to even check in when I'm out of the office, unless it was for like a 3-month period. Yeah, I'd have to set up camp. I'd have to set up and work somehow. But usually for a week or so, I'm okay, you know? Yeah.
Wow, you are so organized. Listen, let's take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll continue this conversation, so don't go away.
Welcome, caregivers. Thank you so much for finding your way to our community of loving and supportive caregivers. We as caregivers understand and know the day-to-day feelings of guilt, fear, and loneliness. But guess what? There is hope. I, Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, along with my team of experts and caring caregivers, have made this site just for you. We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences, plus add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. We know funds are tight, so we offer all of our individual Thrive Solutions packs at just $19 each. Or for even a better deal, you can get lifetime access to all of our resources for a one-time fee of $47.97. Again, we are here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. Before this video ends, download our free welcome pack below. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
And we're back with Katrina Sawa and Adrian Gruberg. See, and there's an example of, for 5 years, I was spending a lot of money doing what I do. And everyone kept saying, I think even you know, you got to monetize this. And I said, well, but caregivers are so broke, you know, and they can't afford it. But, you know, they says, you know what? People are dying. 30% are actually dying. 60% are becoming hospitalized. They're spending money on stuff. How much is your life worth? How much is your health worth? So I came up with a very affordable plan, $47 for the rest of your life, and you get it all. Who could say no to that?
I call it an easy yes offer.
easy yes offer.
Make it really easy for someone to buy.
Some people call it hitting that pain point. Ow! Does that hurt? Ow! Ow! Are you sure? Is that hurt? Ow! You just remind them.
Well, that's the marketing, pain. But the price point and the offer is the easy yes. Yes.
So looking back, what was the single change that brought about the biggest result in your business? Now that you're so wise, you can look back and share all that wisdom with others.
Right. A lot of times we do have to be 3 or 4 years outside of the lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of lessons over the years. And one being you got to have complete faith in yourself and not really have a plan B. Or you don't want to have your toe dipped in some other water over here just in case it doesn't work out. I'm going to go back over here and get a job or whatever. You got to not have that because that messes with your subconscious and you won't be as motivated and determined in your business.
Maybe that's why when they came over on the ship, they burned the ship because there was no way back. Said, well, got to make it here or we all die.
What you got to do. I mean, I burned such a bridge.
It's got to be a commitment, a full commitment.
Yeah, it does. You got to be all in. I talk about being all in. If you're going to make a decision, be all in. And now it's going to evolve. So being open to the evolution of you and your life and your business, right? Being open to that evolution, not being stuck on this is where the perfection is. You have to let go because whatever sounds good to you today, you do. Then along the way, it's going to shift. It's going to tweak. You're going to just go with it a little bit and be open to that evolution of you, your life, and your business and your circumstance. But set yourself up the right way from the start, you know? And the biggest thing that really helped me transform myself was about 6 years into my business, I had a mentor who I paid a lot of money to help me make more money in my business. And really all year long, all he did was tell me to be instead of do. Mm-hmm. And so I was a just do it girl. And tell me what to do. Tell me how much to market, what to do, what else to add. Blah, blah, blah. So I was the doing person. That's all I did. Caregivers are good at this, right? All we do is doing for everybody else. We're not being for ourselves. And so when I learned that, when I was forced into being, I say, more in my business, that's when things opened up. Opportunities opened up, more clients opened up, ease opened up for business. So it was adding the being to the doing. And that applies to pretty much everything I do now. You got to do and be and, yeah.
It's interesting you bring it up because caregivers are so into being a caregiver, you know, that when they when the day comes and they get out of prison, so to speak, and either their loved one gets better or they pass on and they are no longer a caregiver. Adrian, tell us what happens to those people usually.
Well, there's a huge hole at first. There are a lot of people that really get lost. They mm-hmm. don't know what to do. They don't even know how to take care of themselves at that point because like you said, you've been taking care of everybody else. You forgot how to take care of yourself. So you have to put yourself first and make a list of the things that you might want to do. I know my mother-in-law was interesting. She was 63 when she lost her husband and she didn't want to work at a hospital. And she wanted to volunteer. Mm-hmm. And she didn't want a depressing way to volunteer. So at 63 years old, she learned Braille.
Wow.
And she learned how to transcribe textbooks into Braille for the Helen Keller Association. So she could have taken that skill, which she was taught, and applied it and made money with it if she wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, like she just found the opportunity in a penny saver, and that's people just have to be open to all of the things that are going to start to present themselves to them, and they, you know, I understand that grief will get in the way for a while, but I mean. I had a vision while I was caregiving. I was mm-hmm. fortunate. And through my grief, I was still building. But it helped get me through my grief. But there are a lot of people who are in our after caregiving group online. Because they're sort of lost, and they really need
their identity
to
was wrapped up in being a caregiver, and now they don't know what to do. Some can volunteer, and that
some
works.
Some can volunteer. Some can go back to work part time. Some people go.
Some need to just get out of anything that resembles caregiving.
Right, and just I mean, I've seen people become beggars at supermarkets just to meet new people and say hello and be in the world again instead of
so being happiness is important. So, Katrina, what you know, everyone says find something that you love and do it and make money. I mean, Donald Trump even says that. He says just find something you love and you'll be successful at it. Is it possible? Because people, some people say that, you know, I love doing this, whatever this is, but then when I started doing it as a job, I lost my love for it, you know. So it's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Well, that will definitely, that could definitely happen for sure. And I've seen it when somebody, especially artists or creative people, sometimes when they're forced to sell their art or they have to do it for a living, then it's not so enjoyable anymore. I've seen that. And even my mom like makes jewelry. She does wire wrap jewelry and earrings and and beads and stuff like that. And she just, when her husband passed, she kind of stopped making stuff. And for a little bit. I mean, she still did a little bit here and there, but not as
was
much.
Was it a hobby or she made money with it?
Well, both. She turned her hobby into, I wouldn't say a money-making business. I would
but
say
she enjoyed it.
Support your hobby business, if that makes sense. Make just enough to go buy more stuff to keep it up. But I helped her price her stuff out because she was going to give it away for very cheap and lots of hours on stuff. So I helped her price things that she was making, and now she has an Etsy.
Was she resistant to your prices at first?
Not at all. No, not at all. But one of the things you were just talking about, when somebody passes and there's grieving, a lot of times that person is also taken advantage of and is very in a vulnerable state. And they listen to people they don't necessarily know. And sometimes thousands of dollars can go out the door to the wrong thing. And that is something you've got to really watch for as those friends and family members. You got to watch out for that person to be vulnerable to these maybe not so good opportunities that come around, because that's people prey on people that are going through that hard time.
Yeah.
They're like ambulance chasers. They wait until somebody's ripe for the picking.
Yeah, they read the obituary.
And it's a very, very sad state of affairs.
Yeah, well, in marketing, I mean, you can get a list of people like that anytime you want. You can go get a list of people who were married to someone who passed in the last 6 months.
Right.
You can literally get that as a prospect list, and then you can go out and call on them. And it's they say, you know, and she was told, you know, don't make any big decisions in the first year after a grief like that, a loss. It was so good, you know. I didn't want her to move. I didn't want her to do anything for a year. But she did get into a couple financial schemey things. So, you know, and she didn't run them by me. Of course, you don't run them by the daughter who's, you know, a business coach, but whatever.
She did or she didn't?
No, she didn't.
She did run things by you or she did not?
She did not. I know. I know, but now she regrets it, and I didn't tell her. I told her so.
Right.
You know, but I'm having
it's
to help.
So
her
hard
through.
To do, not say it I is. Told you so. So we come up with creative ways of saying I told you so. That doesn't sound like I told you so, but it's really I told you so.
But then you become a gracious, advisor after that.
Well, I would imagine it's got to be hard, and I'm not in that boat yet. My stepdaughter is 9. Okay, so when she surpasses my, you know, when I'm 50, 60, I don't even know how old am I going to be when she's my age. I'm dead. I don't know. Like, I think I'm going to be.
You look like you're about 30, but you said you're going through menopause, so you must be older.
So sweet, but I'm close. I'm 48. So if she.
I used to be 48.
I don't know the math either right now. So the point is that when you get to be 60 or 70, you don't want to take advice. I get that, you know, who are you, this 40 or 50-year-old, going to tell me what to do? I've been around long enough, but times do change. I mean, you start losing memory. I mean, I'm losing memory now, for God's sakes, you know? So Like, I can't even imagine at 70 I'm going to have it all together. Please, come on. Like,
yeah.
I hope so. But
I'm the 70-year-old on the panel here.
Yes, what is it like being 70, Adrienne?
Well, for me, it's like being 45 or 50. I'm very
That's
lucky.
Good.
But I also have the wisdom to know what I don't know and when I have to go and ask somebody. And
good.
I will say that my late husband said, this was not on his deathbed, but not long before, it was like, promise me you'll get help. When, you know, he says, you're very smart. You'll learn it all, but get help. Don't try and do it all yourself. And
well, I tell you, I have clients that are in their 70s. I've had at least 6 or 7 clients who are starting up businesses or in their own business already who need support on how to grow it in their 70s.
Yeah.
And I have a lot in their 60s and a lot in their 50s. So, I mean, most of my clients are somewhere between my age and 73 or so. Because they're finding out, okay, they've left their career or they've been laid off or they've been a homemaker for so long and they're finally ready to do what it is they want, or they're finally giving themselves permission to do something that they're passionate about. And they just need to learn, like you said, they just need to learn how. And you can learn how at any age, you can figure it out. You know, sometimes the technology stuff is a little bit more challenging for some people, but if you're not used to it, but it's always a learned thing, I think.
And there are some things, there is a great resistance among some people to technology. There are things that can be done without it. Things were done without it before. And if they're so wound up in keeping things the way they were, their world and things that they knew, and not becoming uncomfortable, they make it work. But I would advise them to get outside help and to get a tutor if they're uncomfortable with it. It can be very simple.
Well, now, Katrina, as a business coach, I'm sure you see a lot of mistakes that small business owners, and let's remember that 90% of businesses are small business owners, you know, like you and me. And so a lot of them make a lot of mistakes. A lot of them are working too hard, not getting enough profits. They're lucky, you know, the old saying, are you a born entrepreneur? Can you learn it? You know, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, it's a double-edged sword because, yeah, you're not getting a paycheck, so that means your income is kind of unpredictable. And, yeah, you get the freedom, but, you know, some people just shouldn't be an entrepreneur. Some people just go get a job. But for those who feel like, no, I can do this, you know, it's in me, give some advice on some mistakes that you've seen and how they can automate their business and if their profits aren't big enough, you know, what they can do about that.
Right. So the three things that come to mind is do make sure that you have a good website. Okay, these days, you have to have an online presence if you're going to reach more people, because especially as you get older, the ability, like I'm going to a conference where there's going to be 1,000 women and I'm going to work the room. I even have an exhibitor booth with 3 other ladies and, you know, we're counting on hundreds of leads, okay, from this conference. If you can't physically go and do that, where are you going to find hundreds of leads on a regular basis? Seriously. So you've got to embrace the technology end of it and make it the website, the hub of the business. Therefore, you're going to need to get some help with that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now there's a lot of web people out there that are trustworthy and know what they're doing. And then there's a lot that aren't. So be careful just trusting anybody. The first thing you want to do is get some advice on the strategy and the overarching how are you going to make this work, and what are you going to sell, and how much, and mm-hmm. sales is probably one of the biggest things I see people shying away from. They don't want to be a salesperson, so to speak, because they're, especially people in their 50s, 60s, or 70s, they're used to the slimy car salesman like feel, right? Or they've
just been slimed.
Right? It doesn't have to be like that. You control how you are in a sales conversation. There's so many different ways to be in a sales conversation. And frankly, it doesn't even have to be a sales conversation. It can be a service type conversation. Mm-hmm. So we've got, but you have to have the skills around sales. So learning a little bit about sales, marketing, and those kinds of things to get customers is critical if you're in a business. And then the final thing is really understanding that you probably need to talk to a lot more people than you realize in order to make the money that you want to make. So setting your business up the right way, getting some support with sales and marketing, and then realizing that it's much bigger than just, well, even if you just want, oh, I just want a little bit of money, or I just want a couple clients, you still have to do quite a bit to get attention from those couple clients these days. Yeah. Because there's too much noise out there. Yeah.
I also think, I mean, I know with me, people will say, well, what do you do? You know, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do, Adrian?
And I go, no, well, am I a philanthropist? if I say I'm a philanthropist, they'll think I'm rich.
And they'll borrow money.
And no, I don't have to borrow money. There's no money to borrow. But, you know, just knowing that basic 1-minute elevator speech, knowing who you are, what you are, is so important at that moment. And it is extremely hard to discover sometimes while you're in the middle of the grieving process. You know, like, who am I? I'm a widow. You know, some people think that that's it for a while.
I think I'm retired. I've had people introduce themselves at events who say, oh, well, I'm retired. And I'm like, well, why are you here? Well, I have this new business that I'm starting. Well, stop saying you're retired then.
Right.
You know, like, because as soon as you say you're retired, I'm like, oh, you're not in business. Okay.
I'm not interested. You know. Yep.
And it's a mentality that, and then it's an energy that you're putting out. Oh, if you're retired, there's a different energy there. It's just a non-motivated energy. Does that make, like, it's a non-let's move and do energy.
That's
so
right.
You got to get that word out of your vocabulary, if you're going to have a business in your later years.
No, I agree 100%.
Listen, let's take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll continue this conversation, so don't go away.
Dave Nassani, the Caregiver's Caregiver, has just released his 6th book entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through, because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first, before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child, and caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. We'll help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver, on sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com.
And we're back with Katrina Sawa and Adrian Gruberg. And wow, we're in the final stretch. So let's not run out of time. Why is automating your business and marketing such an important factor in building a successful business, Katrina?
In regards to caregiving, it's so you can pick up and leave and take care of your loved one anytime you want. You know, I mean, you've got to set yourself up for that freedom to be able to have the life and take care of yourself and others. When my husband was going through cancer, this was before we were married. We did a lot before we were married.
Apparently, yeah.
We had to put off our wedding a year because as soon as he proposed, 3 weeks later, he was diagnosed with cancer, throat cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we immediately went into caregiving after we got engaged, which was...
That was your honeymoon, huh?
Right. Yeah. So 8 months or so of radiation, chemo, and... working half days because where we had to go to the cancer center, we had to go every single day. And
wow.
So I think Mondays was all day and then Tuesday through Friday was half day. And so we'd pretty much go in the morning and then I'd come back and work while he would sleep or whatever. And so I really only worked half days, 4 days a week instead of 40 hours a week, what I was doing before. So because of the systems and the team, don't forget the team, it's not just about technology and systems.
Yeah.
But it's about the having those people when you need them. And you don't have to have full-time employees, and you don't have to spend a lot of money, but the money that you're going to keep continuing to make will help afford you those people and those systems. And then eventually it does actually prove more profitable. And, you know, so you don't just want to have a team to pay your bills, to run like just basics. We want to thrive in the business. So...
So is he okay? Did he beat cancer?
He did. Yeah, he did.
Okay. What kind of cancer was it?
It was throat cancer. He had a bunch of lymph nodes taken out. It was in his tonsil too. And so, yeah, and he, even on the last day we were getting out of his last chemo appointment and he had embolism thing going on in his chest. So we rushed him back into the ER that same day. Luckily, we were already there. It was like, he almost died from blood clots and stuff. It's like, good Lord. Talk about stress and worry. And, you know, that whole situation, not only did I eat crappy because we were running back and forth and I was eating fast food all the time because that was the only thing I had time for. But, well, it's the only thing I made time for, I should say. It's the only thing I made time for. I could have cooked up a bunch of chicken on the weekend and vegetables and brought it with me, but I didn't, and I should have. Or made shakes like I'm drinking now, you know, like vegetable shakes.
Yeah.
But not only did I not eat healthy and gain weight, but I sent my whole adrenal system and my whole hormone system out of whack, and so I've been trying to fight that for 5 years or so now. So. Yeah.
So was he a smoker or did he chew snuff or just?
No.
Wow. Wasn't in any of the high risk groups. Wow.
No, and he was 43, four years ago. Yeah. He was like 45, right?
Did any of his family members have the same kind of cancer?
Nope. His uncle has cancer, but not throat cancer.
Amazing.
But nobody
you've got to be vigilant. Got to see those doctors. Were you good at going to the doctor and stuff?
Yes. Yes, I have been. I've had asthma most of my life, and so I've had to watch that. I had one episode back when I was previously married, which was a little scary. So ever since then, I've been very I was always kind of careful of it, but
And, you know, some caregivers don't go to the doctor because they don't want to know, you know, it's like if there's some symptoms, no. It's like they don't buy life insurance because they think they're jinxing their life and they don't go to doctors because they think, you know, I mean, is that stupid or what?
Well,
hello?
Yes, because I think that's what Jason, my husband, did. I think because he had this lump on the side of his and it was there for months.
Yeah,
and
maybe it'll go away.
Right?
It'll go away.
Went into the doctor. His doctor had throat cancer, and so knew as soon as he went into the doctor, the doctor was like, well, how long has that been there? He's like, well, months. He's like, well, how come you haven't come in? Well, I'm here now. You know, so he just, wasn't avoiding. And, I've got to take care of this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I don't have time to get to the doctor. I don't believe that we don't have time to do things. I believe we choose not to do things. And put them into our schedule.
Now, I couldn't help noticing behind you, Katrina, that you have some books that say love, 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 and you got something on the wall that says love. And so you don't only talk about money. You talk about love, too?
I talk about love and money, how to get more love in your life and money in your business, yes.
Love and money.
Yeah, that's
like
the
Sinatra used to sing, love and marriage. So tell us about love and money.
Well, it's like it's the being and the doing, right? So you got to focus on your love life, your love for yourself, your getting rid of your head trash, taking care of your personal relationships. And a lot of times what's wrong in your business is you're not doing that. And you're not taking care of, so you have a crappy marriage or someone's talking down to you or you have somebody in your life who's a toxic person who's being mean or unsupportive of what you're doing, and so you're not going to be as motivated in your business. So, or you
toxic
have your own
people.
Head trash, right? We can be our own toxic person. So we got to watch our energy as an entrepreneur. So that's where the love comes in, love for all of that, plus making sure you're doing the right things in your business to make the money.
Yeah. So tell us about your books about love. I assume you've got some books there.
Yeah, it's called Love Yourself Successful. That's my first full book that I wrote a few years ago. And it is about the four types of love that can help you make more money in your business and really
There's
thrive.
Four types of love?
There's four types of love.
Real fast. What are they? Real fast.
Ah, no, I'm not done. No, I just kind of
got to read the book. Okay.
I just kind of mentioned them, but it's your love for yourself, your love relationship, love in your environment, which is getting rid of those toxic people, right, and making it all cohesive, and love for what you're doing. So making sure
that's great.
If you have a career, that you love it. A lot of people I work with hate their job, and that's why they're starting a business, and they want to get out of their job and start their own thing. So any kind of hate or non-love over there is going to be toxic in your body. It's going to be toxic when you're speaking that elevator pitch, and it's going to be recognizable to people. And so you will get less, you'll make less, get less customers in my mind. So,
yeah.
And then the other side is four different books. I was I wrote a chapter in three different compilation books with other authors, and I know you're in one too.
Yeah.
And then I have my next book that's coming out this month, actually. It's called Jumpstart Your New Business Now. So it's really about my system that teaches people the reality of what they really need to do to start up and grow and market a business and make money, and not the things you don't need to know. So it's everything you need to know in the one book.
So what kind of success stories do you have from people who've gotten back to you and say, hey, I read your book and here's what's happening, or clients that you've maybe coached? You got a lot of success stories?
Well, I do, and it depends on the love and money stuff, right? So I've had clients who come to me and were very unhappy in their love relationship and then went home to give their husbands ultimatums, and many of them are divorced, but that's not a bad thing in my mind.
That's a tough love strategy.
Right? Boundaries. You have to take charge of your life. So if you can't fix the relationship, and you know, I give strategies to fix it, and you can go to counseling, and there's all kinds of different communication things that can happen to help fix the relationship. But if it's not fixable, then why stay in it? I mean, that's why I got divorced in 2005, is because I was growing and he was not. And I wanted to go here and he didn't want to come, and I didn't want to stay. So we were just growing apart. He's a great guy. Yeah. But I had to make the decision to leave. And so there's been many, many clients who've found the courage to leave a bad relationship. There's been many, many clients who've learned a lot about themselves so they can attract a new, better love as well. And there's been many clients who've put a better bubble around themselves, so to speak, when it comes to managing those toxic people. So there's a lot of that that goes on.
So you have a very holistic approach to finances that includes, you know, your health and, you know, your spiritual and your emotional and your mental and your physical. And that's great.
Yeah, it's not just a it's more of a one stop shop for sure. It's not just like, OK, this is what you do in your business, because I can tell I'm very intuitive. Like if someone comes to me, I just want to make more money. And then after 2 or 3 months, or maybe even just a couple calls, I can tell if something's going on in their personal life. And I'm like, okay, so Why aren't you doing the video that I told you to do 4 weeks ago? Well, I just don't know what to say. No, you don't. I told you what to say. There's something else going on, right? So that's where the kick you in your butt kind of comes in. I find out really what's going on. Yeah. So we can fix it.
So in the last 3 minutes, how do you want to spend that? What would you like to tell our audience and tell them about you?
Well, I think they should definitely listen to you and go to your website. I mean, and your congratulations on all your success over the last few
Thank
years.
You. I've you've given me a lot of advice over the years. I remember you gave me some advice 4 years ago, and I didn't follow it until last year.
Oh,
it only took me 3 years to listen
that?
To you.
What was it?
You told me to monetize what I do, and people will pay for it. And I says,
You were wishy-washy about that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go take care of the world, and I'll eat
I can afford it.
Whatever.
But those costs can really get out of hand.
No, yeah. I've got to monetize what I'm doing, but I've got to look for a corporate sponsor.
You keep saying that. Sometimes, one day you're going to find one, right?
I know. I mean, I have somebody who's very interested, so.
So what advice can you give to Adrienne? She's been telling me for the last year or two that she's got to get corporate sponsors, and she still hasn't got them. Give her some free
advice. No advertising, just a sponsor.
Right.
Right. No, I get it. And I've actually put a sponsor proposal together for myself, and I've taken some sponsor courses on how to get sponsors, not just for an event, but we're talking $100,000 sponsors or $50,000 sponsors. And you just have to make a plan, and you have to work that plan. And I'm guessing that you're just not talking to enough people because it's a numbers game. Yeah. So you have to make a plan on
who you're talking to.
Yeah, well,
we're all introverts, but you know, you can learn how to be an extrovert.
Yes,
you can delegate a lot of the extrovert stuff though too, and or you can systematize it a lot. You can do videos where you're not talking to somebody, and then they see all the video, and then you look like an extrovert, but you're really an introvert who just recorded a video, right? So,
or she gets someone to record the video for her. Or she can do like an interview thing where the person is asking her questions, asking the right questions, you know, and it's got to be entertaining. Videos have to be entertaining. Yes. They have to be short.
Yeah. I would say don't wait. If you are in a caregiving situation currently and you need to figure out the money stuff, there's things you can do with a little bit of time that you might have to implement right away. And not all businesses, startup businesses, have to cost a lot of money. So be careful who you're listening to that say you have to spend money here and spend money there. And so I'm all about the most affordable way possible to grow and market your business.
Great.
And
so
a learning curve, and that's okay for
there's a learning
people.
Curve.
Yeah.
You just gotta carve out a little bit of time for it every day or every week. Yeah.
Yep.
And you can get started.
So if somebody wants to hire you as a coach or to read your book or to just talk to you, what's your contact information?
Everything's on the website at jumpstartyourmarketing.com. And there's a ton of resources on the resources page.
Jumpstartyourmarketing.com.
Yeah, right? And there's live events. There's virtual events, like when I get on a video call, you can get video coaching for under $100. So, I mean, there's resources that are very affordable. Books, training programs, webinars, free stuff. But, yeah, you can come to a call with me. We can really talk about how to do the business.
And go check out my website, caregiverdave.com, and let me know if you have any advice for me. And I promise I'll follow it this time.
Okay, that's a loaded question, because I might have some
now. I'm sure you will. Adrienne, how do we get a hold of you if somebody wants to glean your wonderful brain?
It's Adrienne, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org, and the website's thecaregiverspace.org, where you'll find links to everything.
And mine
all
is
the
easy.
Other social media.
Mine is easy. It's caregiverdave.com. That's the one place to to get the two free gifts I'm giving out right now. One is a copy of my first book talking about overcoming unbelievable hardships. The other is a welcome pack that will get you plugged into caregiving, will get you on track. And if you've gotten off track, it'll keep you on track and get you back on track. So caregiverdave.com. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.